Hi there, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. You guys, this show was created for you, and it's growing because of you. You are one amazing community out there. We call you our Let's Truck Health Tribe, and you have come together to say our health is important to us. I hope you see that you are making this movement, and we talk about movements, you know, creating movement. You guys are making this movement happen in the trucking industry. You know, by doing the hard work to be your best, most healthy self, you are spreading the word. People are watching. And I'm sure some of you people have come up and asked you questions, you know, tell me more. And, you know, the more you're into it, you're going to feel even more comfortable to say, hey, let me share with you about this. So just know you're helping others gain back their life too. And we thank you for that. So I have to share with you guys, I started panicking before the show today. I had set the show up wrong. I hadn't done this, a couple weeks ago I did it, but I set it up right if you wanted to join us 3 hours from now. And then I just kept editing it wrong. I mean, isn't it interesting when you find yourself in this mode and, you know, you just can't get yourself out, you're stressed, you don't see it any other way. And how cool you guys are. Let's try team here, I'll get crying, banded together, and they're like, whoa, you know, we got this, and it came together to get everything back on track and get me a little calmed down. It's cool. Brittany sent me a note that said, just breathe and think about how much you love bringing health awareness to our listeners, and once the show starts, you'll get into the rhythm. And I shared that with you just because, you know, first of all, I think we find ourselves in moments like that stress creeps in out of the blue. And I think of you guys out there that, you know, how many different scenarios do you encounter out on the road where that kind of stuff happens? And personally, myself, I think how lucky am I to be surrounded by our Let's Truck Tribe, the whole team, and how lucky all of us are to be on this journey together. And when I'm talking about that, you know, business-wise, yeah, here specifically I'm talking about health-wise. How lucky are we to be on this journey together, to learn from each other, to know that you have a support team across the country that is working together, and know that you are not alone. Okay, we are here for you. I know you guys are here for us and for everybody else listening to, you know, we see it all the time. You guys will send us stuff to say, hey, what about this? Look at this. I just read this. And it is incredible. So we are the honored ones to be able to bring it to you. And so I am so excited. Another person that's helping spread the word that you can take back your life, that you can be healthy, you can have energy, sleep well, do things you never thought you could do before, you guys, is our guest today. And it's so fun. I get to call him our official CMC alumni speaker because he's an official alumni now. And so we have a Jimmy Moore joining us today. And as soon as I get my soundboard here, I'm going to bring him in. Hang on there, Jimmy. Here we go. So I'm bringing Jimmy on board. Jimmy is the, like I said, alumni speaker. He's the author of Keto and Cholesterol Clarity and the Ketogenic Cookbook. So, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Long time no hear.
Oh, good. Well, actually, I mean, it was like 7:30 last night. I emailed Jimmy and I said, hey, is there any chance you can join us on the show today? And he said an outstanding yes. So I am so grateful, Jimmy, that you are here.
I'm excited to be here. Yes. Talk about ketogenic diets. I can live and breathe that. Yep.
And is that true? I mean, that's what, you know, it is so simple. It's living and breathing it. And I, for one, that always was one that was either on a diet or off a diet. And this, it's so freeing to think that this, know that this is a lifestyle.
Well, and I grew up in that culture. I mean, my mom was a single mom in the 1980s trying to raise 3 children. And of course, the 1980s was when they were telling us to cut our fat and to eat more healthy whole grains and all of these things that we now know simply aren't true to be healthy. In fact, just the opposite. Those things actually made us less healthy. And we still live in kind of the era where people think cutting your fat is the way to go, eating more of these so-called healthy whole grains and other carbohydrates as the as the source of your energy. You know, people still believe that even in 2016, despite all of the information that's out there now. The cool thing about living in this day and age is you got podcasts like this one. I do 5 days a week. I do podcasts trying to teach people the right way. The information's there. It's just a matter of finding it. And I'm really glad the people that listen to your show have found their destination health right here.
You know, thank you, and it's true. And it was, I was actually listening to one of your podcasts. Which one? It's when you're with another. Like, is it Jenna?
Jenna. Yeah, that's my Friday podcast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I encourage people to go out to. First of all, let's stop and let them know where to go to hear those, Jimmy.
So Monday through Wednesday, I do a show called the Livin' La Vida Low Carb Show. It's the longest-running health podcast on the Internet. You can find that at thelivinlowcarbshow.com. It's also on iTunes. If you just type in low carb or Jimmy Moore, you'll find it. Almost 1,200 episodes now and counting. Not stopping that anytime soon. It's an interview-based show where I literally talk to anybody and everybody in the world of health, even vegans. A lot of people I disagree with. I think those are the people you like to talk to because then you can kind of see what you believe and why you believe it. Then on Thursdays, I do a show called Keto Talk with Jimmy Moore and the Doc. So me and Dr. Adam Nally is a family practitioner in Arizona who uses ketogenic diets with his patients. And so it's a show dedicated specifically to answering questions all about the ketogenic diet. And then the aforementioned podcast with Jenna is the one I do on Fridays called Low Carb Conversations with Jimmy Moore, Jenna the Paleo PA and Friends. And that one, we talk about the health headlines. So we look at like all the headlines making or the health headlines that are like out there that people are talking about. And we talk about them and kind of give our perspective from the low carb, paleo, real food kind of perspective. And so all of these are on iTunes. If you just look them up. Keto Talk is at ketotalk.com and Low Carb Conversations at lowcarbconversations.com.
That's awesome. Thank you. And because we are just such a big proponent on personal development and learning. I love somebody, I heard somebody say years ago to get fascinated with something. And when you get fascinated with it, you just get hungry for learning even more. So and for some people that don't know you, Jimmy, too, how did this lifestyle start for you? Can you take us back there, like where your journey started?
It was a journey long, long time ago. No, just kidding. So in 2003, I got a diet book for Christmas from my mother-in-law. God bless her. You know, she meant well, but she was every year, Kim, giving me a diet book for Christmas. And I'm like, really? Okay. That was kind of her MO. And I always like brace for what's the next one. And, you know, today can be a changing day in your life. Dr. Phil had a, you know, a nice little diet book out there. And I'm like, okay. So she gives me one in 2003 that totally rocked my world and literally changed my life forever. It was Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution. And for people that aren't familiar with the Atkins diet, it's basically a low-carb diet with unrestricted fat and protein. And I thought, okay, this is kind of wacky. I've never done anything like this before, eating full fat, and that's healthy, really? What? So I started my journey January 1st, 2004, at 410 pounds on my body. I was taking 3 prescription medications at the age of 32 for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, breathing problems. I was literally a mess at that age, and I had sat there and watched my brother have a series of heart attacks that actually forced him to get a defibrillator. I watched my dad get a heart attack at 48 and then quadruple bypass surgery at 50. So I knew I was headed right for the same thing had I not changed. So read this book between Christmas and New Year's, Dr. Atkins' book, and I thought, okay, what the heck, let's do a New Year's resolution to lose weight in 2004. Well, it ended up being not just a New Year's resolution, but a new life resolution to get healthy. And I'm today blogging and podcasting and writing books and getting to speak at awesome conferences like the Let's Struck conference and, you know, really getting to share the message because I think now more than ever, people aren't looking for some fake, you know, person that says, well, just go do this and you'll be healthy. It'll be magical. And I'm going, no, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you need a little bit of encouragement and you need somebody you can relate to. And I try to be that for other people because, quite frankly, I still struggle. I still try to figure things out and adding new things here and there to try to help with my own health. And I share that, I share my journey to help others in their own journey.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. What was different about this one? Or was it just that, was there something that spoke to you about the diet, or was it just something like, oh, you know, here's, I just got to have to try this because of, you know, where you would say, you know, with your brother and your dad, was you never lost hope, it seems like, and you still were willing to try.
Well, I had given up. In 1999, I went on basically a no-fat diet. And I remember being on that and being so miserable because I was always hungry. I was always thinking about food. I just thought, you know what, at the end of that, I lost a lot of weight. And then I told this story in my talk at the conference. You know, at the end of that, I was just so frustrated that I binged and I gained back all the weight because I was to the point, Kim, where I felt like, you know what, if that's what it takes to be healthy, then I'd rather be fat and happy than healthy and unhappy. So I had gotten to a really deep, dark place in my own journey where when this came along, my mother-in-law gave me this book, and it was totally opposite of anything I'd ever seen before. It rocked my world. And then the proof was in the low-carb pudding. When I started doing this, I actually found the hunger was gone. The cravings were gone. I actually got to have bacon cheeseburgers without the bun, of course. You know, and when could I ever do that on any other low-fat diet? I couldn't unless I tried to do, like, those Boca burgers. Did you ever eat any of those Boca burgers? Those things are gross.
You know what?
It's just like vegetable burgers.
I am one of those things, too, where I tried everything. And that's
and
why
the fat-free cheese melted on top. Did you ever try to melt fat-free cheese on top of those things?
It's No. Yeah, we had in Akron some guy that created this fat-free pizza and stuff, too. And, again, you looked at those and, like, okay, you know, this is it. This is my answer to this. And that's why I asked that question, too, is like, because I know there's a lot of people that you've tried different things. And even in the keto journey, you're going to have those ebb and flows and dips, you know, where you have to reel things back in, too. That's why it's so fascinating to me when you share, like, what it was, you know, or whether you just trusted that, okay, I'm going to start this, take it day by day. And then you encountered the pretty quick results, didn't you, with this, too? I mean, as far as cravings and feeling. Yeah,
within the first couple of weeks, I was off of all of the deep desire for things. And I was kind of off to the races at that point. And it was just a matter of realizing, hey, I can have this luxurious food that I've never had on a diet before. It suddenly became less of a struggle of, oh, my gosh, I've got to be on this diet, to more of, oh, my gosh, look at what I can have on this diet that will now be the way I eat for the rest of my life. That was so encouraging to me that for the first time in my life, I'm on a diet that I feel is actually sustainable, and I'm still doing it 12 years later.
That is so awesome, and I'm glad you said that because I think, you know, especially after CMC, we had a lot of people that, you know, changed things right then going forward. And I love what you just said. Look what I can have now, because some people still start this ketogenic lifestyle looking at what they have to give up, you know, because of bread and pasta. They look at that, and it's a mind shift, isn't it, that paradigm shift to say, oh, my gosh, look at all I get to have that I've never, ever been able to have on an eating plan before.
And can I mention one thing? Because a lot of times people that have done fat-free, they don't realize that's code for something. So if you've ever eaten anything fat-free, guess what that means? You've eaten something that's high carb. And so high carb is what you're trying to avoid. And so when you cut the fat out, guess what they have to put in to make it not taste like cardboard? Sugar.
And so
if they're adding sugar to it, it's just not going to be good for you. So the fat is not as bad as people think it is. And a lot of the research that's come out, even in just the past few years, fat is back. I mean, there was a big Time magazine cover that basically said that very thing, that fat was wrongfully accused, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of being a health enemy, when in fact fat is actually good for you. So eat the butter, eat the coconut oil, consume the lard, have the full fat meats and cheeses. Don't mess with low fat or fat-free anything, because that's a recipe for disaster in your health.
Yeah, and have you noticed a shift recently, too, that this is becoming more, we're getting more doctors that speak up about it, like you said, a magazine cover. It's pretty exciting.
Yep.
I mean, you've been on this journey since January 2004, and it's picking up some steam now, and it is really exciting.
It's taken a while, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for hanging in there. I know I read it in your book, too. You were one that, you know, went before a government to talk about it, too. So you the first... thank you so much. You know, you have to speak up.
That
so
was an interesting story. If we have time for me to share that story real quick.
Please,
it was 2010 when they were doing the dietary guidelines in 2010. They invited the public to come speak. And I thought, okay, here I am, a blogger, podcaster talking about health. Let's go represent the people, because I know not everybody can just up and leave work and go to D.C. and testify before the USDA. But I thought it was too important not to. And what was interesting, Kim, was I was expecting literally maybe hundreds, thousands of people there. You know how many of the 300 million Americans that had the eligibility to go to this thing, how many of them actually showed up? It was 50.
Yeah.
50
oh
people,
gosh.
And guess what? Of that 50, 48 of them were bought and paid for by some kind of interest group. It was me and one lady who just happened to be driving through town that was a real food advocate. We were the only, like, quote, real people there. Mm. The rest of them were, well, I'm representing the soy industry, and let me read this little, you know, transcript that I was told to read. I'm from the meat industry. I'm from the vegetarian, and it was just all these groups.
Mm.
And I got up there, and I just said, you know what? Look, we've done things all wrong for the longest time, and I ended up doing just about the opposite of everything that you said was healthy, and I got healthy. So that should tell you that maybe the way we're doing things isn't the right way, and let's change things. And to their credit, this year when they came out with the new guidelines, they've now put restrictions on added sugar. They've now said, you know what, dietary cholesterol is not the great enemy we've been telling you about for the last couple of decades. And even, you know, fat, they're starting to loosen up. Now, they can't do it too fast, Kim, because there will be class action lawsuits across the board. But I'm thinking by the time the next ones roll around, they'll be like, yeah, you know, we've seen the great improvements in health from, you know, lifting the ban on the cholesterol. Let's say, you know, fat is not as bad as we said it was. So I think incrementally they're trying to unboil the frog, so to speak, if you've ever heard that expression, boiling a frog.
Yeah.
And so I think they're trying to unboil that frog a little bit, but I think Pandora's box has been open so long, it's going to be hard to get people to start looking at fat as a healthy thing instead of a harmful thing.
That is awesome. And you know what, you've made me think of that too. Like, you know what, we have to speak up even more. And I'll tell you what a group of advocates do you have here listening, you know, that's part of the trucking industry that can really speak up and make their voices heard. So that's pretty exciting. Jimmy, I'm going to back and get a little, I want to get personal here, where I want to hear, like, what does a day look like for you? When you get, you know, now you're home now, you've been traveling like crazy for some months.
Like crazy,
so you finally
lately,
get to get home. So what is
I'm a homeboy.
Okay.
So in terms of eating, is that what you're asking, or just like my general work?
And that's in combination, because you know, you need to fit in a healthy eating lifestyle with your work, whether it's home or on the road. How do you just do both those different things? First of all, when you're home, and then when you're traveling.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it's an interesting life. I'm very grateful that I get to have the opportunities to do you know, lots of traveling. But we are truly homebodies. We love being home. We actually, for the first time in our lives, got chickens this year. So we have 6 backyard chickens that we take care of, except for that black snake that we found yesterday. That was not fun. It's been pretty gratifying.
No.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of terrifying, and I'm terrified of snakes. They are low-carb, high-fat, though. And then we have a home garden that we grow low-carb vegetables in. So doing a lot of work with those things. And then just the day-to-day of what I do, I podcast 5 days a week, so I have to constantly be recording and then throwing in little extras like this one today, it keeps me pretty busy, and then I'm writing books. And so all of that, just, you know, I just kind of go through it, and I get hundreds of emails a day. So that all kind of takes up my time in a positive way. I love it. As far as eating, it's really not as complicated as people think. They're like, well, when do you eat breakfast? When do you have a snack? When do you eat lunch? When do you have an afternoon snack? When do you have supper? I'm like, I don't eat that much. When you in a ketogenic state, guess what happens? You just don't want to eat as much, and that's cool. I mean, people freak out. Well, I have to eat at 8 o'clock in the morning. They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and I say, you know what? I agree. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I just don't think it has to be in the morning time. So the word breakfast means break the fast, breaking the fast. And so if you want to have your break fast at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's okay. You know, if you're sitting in the truck and you've had your bulletproof coffee in the morning and you're not hungry at 8 o'clock, guess what? You don't have to eat. If you're not hungry for a snack at 10 or 11, that's okay. Don't eat. But if at 1 o'clock you start to feel a little peckish and you want to eat a little something, that's the time to eat. And just know that it's okay to eat 1 to 2 meals in a day and do some of those periods of fasting. That's extremely healthy for you. And the fasting thing is on my mind because that's my next book I've been working on lately, writing a book about fasting. And it can be so powerful when you don't have to think about food, when you don't have to like obsess about, well, where am I going to go for lunch? And then when you're eating lunch, well, what am I going to do for dinner? You know, you don't think and obsess about food to that degree. You're very intuitive about when you eat, when you start eating ketogenic.
That's true. And you know what? And like you said, I think you used the word empowering, and I was thinking how freeing it is to not have to think that. And I've seen people evolve into there. Like at first, it's needing to see the list, which thanks to you, we provided and we posted that, the PDF that you shared from your book, too, to at least get people, a lot of times they want to see lists of what can you eat in that. And then I think, and that's what I wanted to share, is that what I'm learning and trying to encourage people is to be patient with this because of it being a lifestyle, and know that you're going to grow at each step, you know, and find out what works for you. We talk a lot about bio-individuality, find what works for you. And if, like you said, you know, if you have your bulletproof coffee and you're not hungry, then don't eat just because everybody else is eating. Listen to your body and do what works for you.
And truth be told, that early moment when you first start on a ketogenic diet, those first like 4 to 6 weeks are so critical, because if you go into it a couple weeks in and you're like, this isn't working, I'm like, you haven't given enough time yet. You really have to invest 60 to 90 days at it and be vigilant about it. Don't cheat. You know, people are like, well, I did so good on during the week, and then on the weekend I decided, oh, I'm just going to let myself go. And then, in fact, I had a couple of guys come up to me at the conference and said that, oh, yeah, on the weekends I just go crazy and I can't understand why I'm not seeing results. I'm like, you just explain why you don't get results. You got to be on it and be serious about it for a period of time. And then you give your body that chance to shift from sugar burner to fat burner. And once you're a fat burner, you know, all bets are off. You're off to the races. You're going to see the results you're looking for.
That's great. And, you know, that was one of our purposes, too, of doing the 22-day challenge. Not that that's an ending point. It's just a point that you need to focus. And I think we all need to do that sometimes. And to just, when we know it's sometimes easy to slip off track a little bit, and that you just need to pull back and say, I'm just going to focus for a little bit and get this back under control. Have you had moments like that in your journey over these past years?
Oh my gosh. I mean, anybody that's being honest will tell you that you have those moments where you kind of go, okay, I just want a cheesecake. You know, you just have those moments. And the cool thing about those things is, you know, in your head, you probably shouldn't, but you say, you know what, I'm going to like de-stress the situation. Let's say it's your birthday. Let's say you're at some occasion with a wedding of a son or daughter or somebody, and you just want to have it. You know what, have it, enjoy it, savor it, and then get right back on plan again. I think we try to overcomplicate things when we say you must be perfect 100% of the time. I don't think that's real world. Now, that doesn't mean these dalliances need to be weekly, but if it's once a quarter, couple of times a year, whatever, that's probably okay. And it's also going to depend on your level of brokenness. I mean, I have pretty bad metabolic brokenness from the years upon years of crappy garbage, as I call it, that I used to eat. And that's caught up to me in my mid-40s now, where I literally have to be pretty darn vigilant all the time and keep those dalliances to a minimum. But some people may not be as broken as Jimmy Moore, and you can probably get away with that from time to time. But there was a recent study that actually came out that said people that aren't metabolically broken, it'll take them about a week to 2 weeks to get back into ketosis again. But if you're already having some signs of insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome and all these things that make it a little more difficult to lose weight, that's most of us right now, then it's going to take you probably 4 to 6 weeks to get back into ketosis, even after one meal that's kind of off plan. So basically, pick and choose your moments that you do that. Don't make them too often, and you should be okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And then, and again, I keep going back to, you know, that this is a lifestyle and make it work. Because I had that mentality so much of on again, off again type diet. And I love knowing that this is the way I want to live. I choose to live this way.
That's right.
So do you test your ketones?
You know I do. So I'm like an obsessive tester, and partly because I kind of want to see where I stand. And the neat thing is the availability of testing is so rampant out there now. There's actually three ways you can test, one that I don't really care for, one that's the gold standard, and one that's kind of a good yes-no. So the one I don't care for, after the first couple of weeks, it's really ineffective, is the urine testing. So that's the one most people know about, the pee sticks. You pee on those keto sticks. You can get them in a pharmacy for about $12 to $15. And they're good in the early days, but once you kind of get keto adapted, a lot of people stop seeing results on there, but that doesn't mean their body is not ketogenic. It just means that their body is using the ketones more efficiently and not spilling them over into the urine anymore. So I'm not really a fan of urine ketone. The one that I am a big fan of is the blood ketone. There's a monitor called Precision Extra internationally, and even some places in America, there's a meter that's from the same company called Freestyle Neo. So Precision Extra, Freestyle Neo, they're the exact same one. The problem with this one is it's extremely expensive for the strips. You kind of have to get the strips from Canada and other countries. The ones here in America tend to be about $4 to $5 a strip, so it's pretty expensive, whereas the ones in Canada you can get for a couple bucks. But it's the most precise way to know exactly what your level of blood ketones are. So the one in the urine was called acetoacetate. The one in the blood is called beta-hydroxybutyrate, and that's the one that you're actively looking for to be in the blood to give you the energy, to give you the mental clarity, to give you all the benefits that you expect from a ketogenic diet. Now, there is one more ketone in the body called acetone, and that's the one in the breath. And currently there's one monitor that will measure. There's a couple more on the way I'm not allowed to tell you about just yet because they're not on the market. But one on the market right now called Ketonix, ketonix.com. It's a guy in Sweden, has epilepsy, and he tries to eat ketogenic to control his disease. And so he didn't like the peeing on the stick. He thought that was gross and inaccurate. And then he didn't like pricking his finger and the expense of the blood ketones, so he created this breath meter that you basically plug into a USB port, so a charger or on your computer, and it will give you kind of a good yes-no. Yes, you're in ketosis. No, you're not in ketosis. It's not as precise as the blood, but it's a whole lot less expensive. The meter is about $150, and it will measure your ketones literally thousands upon thousands of times. So I've used all three of those. My favorite is still the blood because I like to see precisely what my blood ketones are.
Yeah, and you know, I had followed you on, I forget when I looked at your, you did a whole year test, I think, with that, didn't you? With the,
yep, 2012,
the blood, 13. And yeah, I think that's what sparked my interest in that. And my issue was with the cost of those as well. And I haven't gotten the Ketonix yet, but you feel like that's a good one for an everyday if somebody wants to just, you feel you like that much. That's great. Okay.
And they've actually improved the quality of that one too. When it first came out, it simply changed color. Now he's gotten very sophisticated. I think he's made enough money that he could add new things to it. And one of the new things that he added to it is you can actually plug it into your computer and it actually will make graphs for you and show you like different levels that go beyond the color. So it's very sophisticated now. It's definitely worth that $150. Highly, highly recommend it, especially in the day-to-day if you really can't afford $4 or $5 strips, and I don't blame you because that's very expensive. Definitely the Ketonics is a nice backup, and it'll give you good quality data. I mean, if you're not in ketosis, it'll be extremely obvious when you start using the Ketonics.
Okay. I know I want to get to some questions here, too, because we have a lot of people, but you got me fascinated about this. But one thing, too, like, one thing I love about this and everybody really paying attention is you become more aware of your body and how you're feeling and so forth. Have you gotten to the point that you can almost guess what that meter is going to say to you, like how your body feels?
Yeah,
you're in ketosis or not?
Especially with the 1-year experiment, I was testing morning and night and sometimes every hour on the hour, a few of those days during that 1-year experiment. So when you test that much, you kind of get used to, all right, this is how I felt. This was kind of the feeling in my mouth. This was kind of the general euphoria maybe that I felt that particular day. And after a while, I made a game out of it. So I'd say, yeah, I'm about 1.3 today. And I'd check and it'd be 1.2. And so it was kind of a fun game. And so, yeah, I can almost literally guess out of thin air, but that's only because I did it for so long. I think it's probably very prudent for most people not necessarily to do it every day, but do it on occasion, just especially when you kind of feel like, okay, I don't feel the benefits of ketosis. Maybe I'm not in. That's when you measure, and that's when you can kind of shore things up. Or maybe it was just all in your head, and you got a 1.1, and you're like, okay, I'm good. I just thought I was out. So I think it's good just to check every once in a while. But I tell people that can't do the everyday thing because it's so expensive if you're going to test blood, and you don't have a ketonics yet, is test twice a week with the blood for like a month. So test sometime in the morning during the week. So let's say Monday or Tuesday morning, just test before you eat anything. When you wake up, just test at that point. Then sometime during the week, later in the week, do it in the evening. So say Thursday night, Friday night, test in the evening at least 4 hours after your last meal. If you do those things, then over the 4 weeks, you'll kind of see, okay, am I progressing or am I digressing? And then you can shift your diet from there to shift things.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's so empowering, isn't it? And we're in control that way instead of, you know, I just think that's one area of our life that we can feel so out of control, you know, when it's our eating
that's
and
right.
our health and that's a great way to do it. So Jimmy, how do you feel about taking some questions from some callers here?
I am game. Let's do it.
I bet. Okay, this is great. Well, we are going to head to Memphis and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it.
Mike, can you hear us?
Oh, hey. Bridget, hey,
there you are.
How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
We are great.
Oh, not much. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Jimmy. It's such an honor, man. I love the book and got the Audible of it and listened to it. I re-listened to it about 3 times just to absorb all the information in it.
He's got to hear my voice for 9.5 hours on the Audible book.
Well, it's only about a day's work since I'm not a long-haul driver here, but,
cool.
Real excited about the program and really happy. So I just had a quick question. I've seen a few restaurants like Yeah Burger and a few others. There's one here in Memphis and Atlanta, Virginia, Baltimore that specialize in grass-fed beef and bison and chicken. Do you see more restaurants picking up on this eating plan and more acceptance in the fast food and restaurant market?
You know, I think they have to. I think so many of us and people in the paleo community and just people demanding better quality, that is the next trend. And so it's very encouraging to hear you say that all these other restaurants, I know the Hardee's Carl's Jr. Line actually brought in a grass-fed beef burger last year for the first time, importing in from Australia some really nice quality meat. So, yeah, I see this as a great trend, and it's awesome. And you know why they're doing this is the demand of people like you and me saying, hey, look, we want this. We'll eat this. It's a part of our healthy diet. And so that's very encouraging to hear that that's happening. And yeah, you're definitely going to see a lot more of that in the coming years.
Yeah. The other one that I was talking about, it's called the Burger Joint. And that's the one that has locations in Virginia, New York, Tennessee, Texas, Dallas, Texas, pretty much all over. They're really expanding fast. So it's really exciting and good to know we have options on the road. When I'm at home, I'll go ahead and visit local Whole Foods or Fresh Market. And I've transfer my whole family into eating like this. And I'll tell you, we all feel so much better. The kids are, they just seem happier, more playful. And, you know, I've called in the show before and told Kevin, I feel about 20 years younger. So anyone out there listening that's on the brink of trying this, go ahead and do it and you won't regret it.
Dude, you need to co-host with Kim sometime. This is awesome.
Thanks, Mike. It's seriously, Jimmy, our listeners are the best. I mean, because it's
that guy's an inspiration. I want to see his book in the coming years. Where's your book, dude?
There you go, Mike.
Yeah, you keep up the good work, man. I'll just keep reading your books. That's fine with me. And I'll do the driving, and you can write the book. So I appreciate
you. Well, keep inspiring. Keep inspiring people out there because you're changing lives. You're changing your life and your family's life, and that's what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, hey, Mike. Hey, thanks for joining us. Keep spreading the word. We're going to get some truck stops to change and bring some good food in there too, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. And, you know, I try to stay out of the truck stops as much as I can when I'm eating. But, you know, that's the great thing about
carbon.
The diet. Even if you can't go to a restaurant that specializes in grass-fed and organic foods, you can still make reasonable choices that are great for the diet. Pretty much anywhere that sells food, any restaurant or fast food chain, it's not optimal probably, but it's great to know that on this diet you can't have the luxurious foods and never be hungry and never have those cravings. And that's the biggest thing for me, is to not have those cravings.
Yes.
That's great. Keep up the great work, Mike. Be sure to keep calling
Thanks, Mike.
In, okay?
Thanks again, Kim. Thanks, Jimmy.
Be safe. Let's head off to South Carolina and bring Mike into the show. Welcome to the show, Mike.
It's the Mike Show.
Hey,
there we go. That is true.
Hey, guys. It's
South Carolina, you're in my neck of the woods. You're in my neck of the woods in South Carolina.
Yeah. Nice. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
We can hear you, Mike.
Yeah, I have it's a pleasure speaking with both of you. I hope as a society we develop to a point where we can go after sugar the way we've gone after big tobacco, because some of these soft drinks that I see are just ridiculous. I was looking at a frappuccino drink last time, and it had like 50 grams of sugar in a tiny little bottle.
Oh,
I mean, some of that stuff. Anyway.
And that's 12 teaspoons, 12 and a half teaspoons.
Crazy.
I've been on the ketogenic diet, and I wasn't really overweight. I kind of gravitated between 190 and 200 pounds, and I'm about 6'2". I'm borderline high blood pressure, hypertension. And I was wondering if there's something in the ketogenic diet that I should pay particular attention to that could help me towards lowering my high blood pressure. I find it very difficult on the road, given our schedule and tracking. And the last question that I had was, I come from a region in Africa where we eat a lot of peanut butter and we use it as sauce. And I couldn't get something definitive about whether it's a good thing or not. Most of the information that I find about peanut butter is kind of conflicting. And I just wanted your opinion, Mr. Moore, about it.
Mr. Moore's my dad. I'm Jimmy, but I'll be happy to answer the peanut butter question. peanut butter. I'm not a big fan of peanut butter personally, just because it's a legume and not a nut, and I would rather have a nut instead. Now, the problem with nuts in general and even nut butters is they're very high in omega-6 fats, and you're trying to reduce the omega-6 fats. So if you're going to have a nut butter, have a macadamia nut butter, have an almond butter. Peanuts have different properties about them that I'd rather not have in my body. So I tend to not have peanut butter, but instead almond butter. I know it's a little more expensive than peanut butter, but it's going to be a lot more healthy for you. And it's easy to basically rack up on the carbs when you have peanut butter, whereas you can kind of control them a little better with some of these other nut butters. Now, as far as your first question, can you, you know, ask that one again? What was that?
The high blood pressure.
Oh, high blood pressure. So, yeah, generally ketogenic diets, all the studies show that that's one of the things that comes down. In fact, when I went on the Atkins diet, I was on blood pressure medicine, and within 6 weeks of going low-carb, high-fat, I was, like, getting dizzy, and my wife said, will you please get off that blood pressure medicine? I don't think you need it anymore. So the diet itself will lower your blood pressure. Now, if it's still elevated, I would say look at the non-diet reasons why it might be elevated. Do you have extra stress in your life right now? Do you have trouble sleeping? Those things can all impact your blood pressure in a negative way, no matter how good your diet is. So I would say if you think you've got your diet dialed in and you're testing your ketones and you're getting really good results and your blood sugar's under control and all of that's really good in your diet, look at the non-diet reasons why your blood pressure might be wackadoodle still.
Okay, thank you. I'll try the almond butter. I wasn't sure about the peanut butter, but I'll definitely try the almond because I buy my peanut butter from Whole Foods and it's organic and it's only peanut butter and salt, but they also do
have
almond butter.
Yeah, get the almond butter and try macadamia nut butter. And if you want something that's going to blow your head off, that's awesome. It's a little higher in carbs, but if you can budget it in your carbs, cashew butter is unbelievable. Try it and you'll thank me later.
I will do that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for calling. Thanks. I'm going to have to try that too, Jimmy. Cashew butter, huh?
Oh, and there's a new nut that's out there that you might not have heard about. They haven't made a butter out of it, but nut itself called pili nuts, P-I-L-I nuts. And it's even higher in fat, believe it or not, than macadamia. Macadamia has about 19 grams of fat per like 1 ounce. The pili nuts have 21 grams of fat and, of course, very low in protein, very low in carbs, so extremely ketogenic. I would call them the keto nut. But I'll be sharing more about that in some of my work soon. But pili nuts, it's kind of a new thing that's been out there on the market a couple of years, but it's from the Philippines. It's only harvested in the Philippines. Maybe some places in Australia also have it, but it's right next to like a volcano. So you get all these great nutrients that are in there from the volcano. And oh my gosh, Kim, they will rock your world. They're literally like eating freeze-dried butter. That's how delicious they are.
So where did you get those? Did you get them online? Are they in Whole Foods?
Yeah, probably not in Whole Foods yet. Like I said, I learned about them at a recent event that I was at in Texas, and I'll be sharing more about it. But I've been talking to the guy that created it or basically started promoting it online, but I'll share more. I don't really have that in front of me now. I know I've teased you with it, and now I can't share it with
you. Yeah.
But as soon as I get that, I will send that to you so you can share on a future episode.
We can do that. That sounds great. And that's what I love. That's how we learn and try new things. And when you say, you've got to try this, that's what I'm ready to order.
There
you go. So. Okay, well, let's head to Pennsylvania. We're going to go to Pennsylvania.
Is it Mike?
No, it's not a Mike this time. It's a John.
Not a Mike this time.
Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim. Hello, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on.
What's up, bud?
Well, Kim, you know, I'm glad that Brittany kind of helped you out this morning. It's almost like she's related to you or something.
Oh, yes, she knows me.
I hear she's pretty cool.
Yes, it does.
Imagine that, right?
Exactly.
Jimmy, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for the books. Thank you for the blogs. You have definitely opened my eyes to so many things, and I really appreciate all the hard work that you've done to help us out.
Thank you, sir.
When it comes to Bulletproof, I know that you are a big proponent of Bulletproof. What kind of things do you add into your Bulletproof? I put some pretty wild things in my Bulletproof, but
I want to hear that.
What do you put in yours? I put cacao, Himalayan salt, nutmeg, cinnamon, pure vanilla, obviously butter and coconut
tea.
Oil.
Yeah.
So I play with that a lot. And sometimes, even though it has a lot going on in it, sometimes I get a little bored with it. So I like new ideas. So what I try to think of is what will taste good, A, and B, what can I get a big shot of something that I otherwise am not going to get? So that's why I've kind of picked the things I've picked.
Sure. curcumin would be one that I might add to your little cocktail there. That would be an interesting one. There's just so many benefits to curcumin. And if every once in a while you wanted to add something with a little spice to it, add some cayenne pepper. That's another one that,
that could be a
nice little surprise. But
that
in general, I'm not a fan of coffee, and I've even told Dave Asprey this. I love him to death, but I'm like, dude, I hate coffee. And he's like, oh, but you'll love mine. It doesn't have mycotoxins. I'm like, all right, send me some. So he sent me some. I bought like a grinder and all this stuff, and I ground it, and I got and I was like, it's still gross, dude. I'm so sorry. I just don't like coffee. But what I do is bulletproof bone broth. So I'll take basically the same concept and throw a bunch of things with bone broth and mix the butter and different things in there. And it gives you the same basically benefit except without the caffeine that you get from the coffee. But, yeah, just keep tinkering with it.
That's
I love what you've done. Your concoction is amazing.
Oh, my God. That's the second huge thing that you gave me today, bulletproof bone broth. That's awesome. The other thing with the breakfast, yeah, it's the most important meal of the day, but it doesn't have to be in the morning. I love that. I swear I'm going to spread that from the hilltops.
Please do.
That's awesome. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John.
Well,
you know,
I want
to
bring these listeners onto my show. They're awesome.
They're fabulous. They are just, they've been with us from the get-go, and they just, I'm so humbled by them. It's a party. We love it. I'm a huge coffee lover, but I just do the plain. I just do the MCT and the butter right now. The thought of adding some cayenne sounds fabulous. Actually, you know, to kick it up.
That
we've
metabolism.
Heard people have. Yeah, thank you. I need that. We've had people ask that. They're not coffee lovers. So, you know, we've had people try it in tea. So that was interesting to hear you say about doing it in the bone broth. Do you make your own bone broth, Jimmy?
You know, I have made my own bone broth, and I do love doing that. And in the Ketogenic Cookbook, we actually have a recipe for making it. But because I've been traveling so much lately, it's nice to have it kind of ready on the go. So I actually use this company called Bare Bones Broth. But there's so many companies out there making bone broth. In fact, at that conference in Texas that I was at recently, there was actually 5 or 6 different vendors now that are selling commercial brands of bone broth. Now, don't mistake what you see in like supermarkets and like Costco, Sam's Club that says broth. Don't mistake that as being bone broth. That
yeah.
Synthetic, man-made crap. Don't eat that at all. You got to get ones that are done with grass-fed bones and really done the right way. Like I said, Bare Bones Broth is one. Epic, the people that make the Epic bars, they have one. And I'm going to leave out so many good companies, but you can Google grass-fed bone broth and you'll find all those companies online.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's great. And then that's one thing that I want to, and it was, I was reading Dr. Hyman's book. It was before CMC. And you hear about it, and it's, that's what I encourage people to, you know, with the reading and listening, and like John said, he picked up on 2 things. So just be aware and pick up what people are saying. Try it. If it works for you, keep it, you know, keep it in your daily fold of food and life. If not, then you just look for something else too. And so
exactly.
I'm anxious to try that. So, hey, we are going to head to North Carolina and talk to Matt. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Got all my southern
brethren
on here today. What's up, Matt?
Yeah.
Well, first, I guess I got a question about bone broth. Everything I've read about it usually talks about chicken, fish, or beef, but I've never seen anything written about pork. We raise our own pigs, and they're out on pasture and all that, so does the animal really matter at all? Would pork bones work for making bone broth?
Absolutely, it will. The only reason other ones are mentioned is a taste thing. Some people don't like the taste of beef bone broth. I personally like chicken bone broth the best, although I don't eat a lot of chicken because it's so lean. The meat is lean, but as far as bones go, it really makes kind of a nice broth. I've never had pork bone broth, but it sounds amazing. I would even I actually have seen where you can smoke the bones. So if you smoke those pork bones first and then do the broth, you're going to get a better tasting broth.
Okay. Well, I'll bring you some.
I would love
probably
that, dude.
Late summer, we got about 6 pigs going to the butcher in July, so.
That's a deal, man.
Yeah. My next question, in your Keto Clarity book, you talk about when you go out to a restaurant, you have a little game where you try to, you ask the waitress to bring the most amount of butter she's ever brought to anybody.
Right.
What is the record?
16 tablespoons.
Okay.
It was in Austin, Texas. I was at actually like one of those like organic breakfast joints. I believe it was called 24 Diner. And she thought I was kidding. And I said, I'm not kidding. And so she brought over 16 tablespoons. Of course, I didn't eat it all because you can't eat that much butter. But it was just kind of funny because most places you go, you say, I want some butter, and they bring you one little pat or whatever. And it's like, really? Now, I need more. So the point of where I put that in Keto Clarity, people are like, well, you're encouraging people to gorge themselves on fat. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the point. The point was to tell people stop fearing fat and realize fat is what you need to eat when you're replacing the carbs. So, yeah, I've gotten a little bit of criticism for putting that line in there about asking for more butter than you've ever had and you know, sent to anybody in one sitting in your entire life. But the point was to try to get people to not be afraid of it anymore, because people still, even after I wrote the book, trying to skimp on the fat. And I'm like, no, don't do that. You need the fat. When you get rid of the carbs, you got to replace it with something, and that something is dietary fat.
Okay. My last question is snacking throughout the day. Driving all day, it just seems, you know, snacking is an issue I deal with. Do you have any good recommendations for high-fat snacks?
I would recommend that you don't snack, because if you eat enough in your prior meal, so can you tell me what time you eat, like in the morning time?
It varies every day.
So, like, generally sometime between 8 and 12?
Yeah.
Ish, yeah. All right, so I would say whatever you have at that one meal – make it a pretty substantial meal. So let's say you have one egg or a couple of eggs and a couple of slices of bacon. Maybe bump it up to 3 eggs and a few slices of bacon and maybe an avocado. That little bit extra food and little bit extra fat will keep you so satisfied that you really won't have the need, at least from a hunger perspective, to want to snack. Now, of course, being in the monotony of driving and being behind the wheel and nothing to do, I would say do something with your mouth other than eating food. So maybe chew on sugar-free peppermint or some sugar-free gum or something to have in your mouth if you feel that need to chew, but you really don't have a physiological need to snack. That's just a mindless thing because your mind is wandering and I'm bored, and maybe listen to podcasts, maybe do things that would take your mind off of wanting to eat. But how long have you been keto?
Well, I did really good at it about a year ago. And
yeah.
Kind of on and off now for about 8 months.
Gotcha. So I would say get serious about it. Realize that first 4 to 6 weeks is going to be your hardest time. Get back on the wagon and know in that first 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to probably need to chew on some sugar-free gum. You're going to probably need to just have a toothpick or something in your mouth, something that would keep your mouth occupied. And then eat a little bit more in that first meal of your day. And if you do that, you'll find you won't really have the need to snack. But if you do have to snack, that's where talking about, you know, the peely nuts were a really good idea. Maybe some cheese sticks, if you ever had the, like, string cheese, pepperoni slices, anything like that. But I would say try to lean away from the snacking idea and more to eating more in that earlier meal so you don't have to snack.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Cool, man. Let me know how it goes.
That's great.
Yep, thanks.
Hey, Matt, and I know you head down this Florida way, too, so when that bone broth gets done.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
There you go. You just got to bring your wife with you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Matt. You know what, that's a really good point, Jimmy, because snacking is one of those things that I find, in stressful situations, or bored, or my time at the end of night, and I've had to find what works for me at the time. It's having a cup of tea or to just go for a walk that gets it past. But I think it's cool Matt's aware, you know, he's
Yes.
Again, it's that awareness. And just
well,
hearing
and one
you say,
thing I didn't tell him.
Why are you?
I'm
saying,
sorry. One thing that he said. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're on like a little bit of a delay, so I think you can't hear me when I start talking. So basically, one thing I didn't tell him that we actually included in Keto Clarity is when you get that craving where you feel like, oh my gosh, I really need something, get you like a slice of cheese and maybe put a little bit of grass-fed butter in the middle of that, say, cheddar cheese, roll it up and eat that. And within like 10 to 15 minutes, if you were having a carb craving or you were having some kind of a, oh my gosh, I've got to eat something, you ate that. And you're so satisfied, and it's going to hold you over until your next meal. So something as simple as that could be just the trick that Matt needs to make it to the next meal.
Yeah, that's great. And I tell you, these men and women out in their trucks driving all day, too, they're, one thing I've seen them do more and more now is that prepare and make sure they have what they need with them.
Yes.
So they are, you know, prepped for success, and that's huge. That's 90% of the battle, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, hey, Jimmy, do you have time for a couple more calls here?
Absolutely. Bring it.
Oh, awesome. So we are going to head to Minnesota. We have another John here with us. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jimmy. Thank you very much for your book, Jim. Really enjoyed that. Question for you is, you started this diet at 410 pounds. What did you approximately lose in the first year, and what are you currently?
Great question. So in that first year, I lost 180 pounds. So that was that was in 1 year. And, you know,
wow.
What's interesting is, once you kind of lose, everybody's like, well, you just will magically stay there. Well, the dirty little secret is your body is pissed, basically, that you got down in weight. And it's going to fight you tooth and nail to get back to where it was. Now, thankfully, I've never come anywhere close to 400 pounds again, but I have gained back some weight. I'm very honest about that. And there's so many things that are involved here, from genetics to dealing with stress. I tell people I didn't really start putting on weight until I started writing diet books. So when you start writing books about health, it actually is very stressful in a happy way, but it's still stressful.
Yeah.
And I've put on 20 pounds every time I've written a book. And I'm like, really? Trying to be healthy and showing people how easy it is. And then you put on 20 pounds. So it just goes to show you it goes well beyond just the diet stuff. Now, I'm actively doing things to try to counteract that. I'm doing some fasting now. Definitely trying to get real, dialed into my ketogenic diet. But just know you've got a lot of things. If you've been big in your life, you've got a lot of things that are going to be working against you for the rest of your life. Some people, they're like, oh, I'll do this, and it's so easy. I'm like, well, maybe for you, but some of us are going to still have to battle that weight. Now, one thing I tell people is don't put the focus so much on weight loss as much as health gain, because that health gain can show up in your health markers and your blood markers, even if you still have a little extra weight on your body that the world might think, oh, my gosh, you're unhealthy. But no, your blood markers won't lie. If your triglycerides are under 100, if your HDL is over 50, if your hsCRP, which is a key inflammation marker, is under 1, all of these things, and blood sugar in the 80s or below, all of these things are going to be clear signs that you are incredibly healthy, even if you still have extra weight.
All right. That answers my question. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much. I know. And I think you just bring such a good point to it. It's just, you know, it is surreal in life, and we're all different. And, you know, the scale can show one thing, but yet you're feeling this and your numbers are good. You know, have some grace with yourself, and don't compare yourself to other people, because that would be a losing battle for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You compare yourself to other people. They don't have the same journey as you. They're not Kim, they're not Jimmy, they're who they are, and they need to compare themselves to themselves. And if you know you're doing things wrong, most people do, especially once they become enlightened with this information we're talking about here today, you know when you're off. Get back on. Now, that's the point. And then don't beat yourself up if you don't quite make it on the scale. I'd say stick a sledgehammer to that scale of it. If it affects your mood that much, so literally sledgehammer the stupid scale, because it's going to discourage you more than encourage you. I would say, hey, look at my blood markers. I've often joked on my podcast about how I wish I had like LED lights running across the front of my chest that like have all my health markers so people can see just how healthy I am, because it doesn't necessarily show up if you look at me on the outside.
Yeah. And that just reminds us to, you know, the same grace we give ourselves, give it to other people and hold the judgment, you know, and across the board and just be a shining example. Yeah. Well, so true.
For example, I just saw my mom in Florida. We went and saw her recently, and she was so upset by how she looked. But see, her issue is they put her on a powerful drug. She's had meningitis and this really bad other disease that she had to take prednisone. Well, prednisone is a known fat-producing drug, and so she's ballooned up a little bit despite having gastric bypass surgery, and she's so ashamed. And I tried to explain that to my mom. I'm like, this is nothing you've done. It's the drug that's basically keeping you alive through all this really bad experience you're going through. But people, they beat themselves up because our culture has told you if you weigh more than X amount, you're not good enough. You're a slob. You're slothful. You're lazy. And none of that is true.
None of it's true. Thank you
for
sharing that.
I work harder than anybody I know. And I would dare somebody to tell me that I'm lazy. I'm not lazy.
Yeah. And who are we? And who is anybody to say that?
Right.
You know,
that's
truly,
right.
Really. Well, let's grab one more, Jimmy. And this has just been so great. I could talk to you forever and have our listeners on, but we're going to grab one more phone call here. We're going to welcome Andrew to the show. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
What's up, bud?
Glad you're here.
Yeah, so it sounds like your book is doing pretty well, and I've heard about Bulletproof as well, and it sounds like a really great franchise. And, you know, people seem to sound like they really know what they're talking about. You know, with podcasts that I've seen, there's a lot of research going on, and there's a lot of good things happening. Because, I mean, really, the medical industry is pretty horrendous. It really is when you start looking at it. And you know, when people start putting things out there, it's a good start. But, you know, what I'm frustrated with, right, on an endless basis, and obviously, once again, you know, no two people's journey is the same. So, like, you know, it's really difficult because – You know, I tend to find that the programming, so to speak, is so strong amongst so many different people. Like, you can meet the average person on the street and just say to them, you know, like in any given situation, you know, would you like to know about this? That'll set you free. Would you like to know about that? That'll set you free. And then you start to realize people really just don't care. So you could tell someone, look, speeding train coming towards you, the average person, if they can't comprehend that, like, you know, there is actually a train track, to use a metaphor, they're not going to move out of the way. They're just going to argue with you. You know, they're not going to be like, well, let me learn more about this to understand that I'm on a train track and there's a train coming, you know. And that's the thing. It's so well designed. The whole structure that we're living in is so well designed in terms of just, you know, the human plantation that you cannot even speak to people a lot of the time. And it's really, I just don't know how to deal with it. You know, I just struggle to not care.
With talking with people? Is that with your day-to-day interaction?
Well, it's not just that.
People?
I mean, it's just the general consensus. You know, it's like if we don't get to the core issues of what's going on. I mean, you know, for example, yes, we all need to start with health. Absolutely. Yes, we do. But like you're living in a society where people are in, like, you know, people are going to say to you, hey, let's go out for dinner. And then you're going to be like, okay, cool. Well, that sounds good. Where are we going? And it's like, well, to maybe McDonald's. Or whatever. I mean, I'm saying silly example, but you know, how do you deal with it? Because to me, everything's integrated. Everything is connected. You know, you look at the food industry, the drug industry, the monetary system, and so forth. And when you are able to get that mosaic view, then it is very stressful because now you're like, hey man, can I show you this? Could we work? Could we take, like, you know, like 7 days out, like during the next couple of months, and actually work through what's going on in our community and change the food system, you know, change the what's available to us and start eating differently or whatever. And then, you know, what's going to happen is people are stuck in a perpetual cycle. It's like mother to children or mother and father to children, et cetera, and on it goes, where it's like the worst vices that you can think of are promoted on the one side. And then on the other side, a lot of really bad medicine and really bad all sorts of systems are on the other end of the spectrum that are false choices. And then it's this constant dialect process. It's a constant ongoing sort of dualistic process of basically the majority of the human race being damaged. And if you want to move up in the world, you have to go, generally speaking, you have to go with the idea of, you know, we live in an environment where the lion, okay, eats the zebra, so to speak. You know, that's the reality of our world. And you know, we don't want to have to focus on those things.
No, and I would type in first here, and then, Jimmy, I hope you can add here to some, because, Andrew, I'm so glad you called in, because what I thought of, Neely, when you were talking, because you were saying about the, you know, the mosaic of the whole community, Jimmy, I thought of you being one of the two out of the 50 that showed up in front of government. And,
yeah.
Andrew, I encourage you to, you know, step back and think, you know, it's where, you know, one person can't do all of it, but we can do something, you know. And find that hope when you look through your eyes, you know, find that hope and the good, and see where you can feel like you can make a difference, if it's through your example or through, you know, sharing with others. And take it a step at a time. Just little, I think, little bits will build that mosaic, you know, into something beautiful. But it has to start somewhere. And I think once you start, and encourage people to join you on that journey of what you want to see change, then you will truly make a difference and know that you are making a difference, and just keep
going.
Well,
yeah, thanks very much, guys. I mean, you know, for me, it's just about statistics. I mean, what it comes down to is essentially you pick your own tribe. Eventually, you find your tribe, and then everyone's competing with everybody else, whether it be in health or whatever. I mean, the whole medical system is set up in such a way that if you're not really knowledgeable, you know, you will get, statistics show that at some point you will know someone that gets put on some drug or something gets done to somebody that's going to really damage them. And the malpractice and all that sort of thing continues to perpetuate itself because, you know, the court system, everything is set up over hundreds of years to ensure that that system can continue, you know, culling the herd. You know, you go look at what Dr. Rima's talking about on, Dr. Rima Labo and all of the stuff that's going on in the medical industry and all the whistleblowers. And yet, you know, our natural inclination is to just sort of say, well, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. And then, you know, then the average person that does know what's going on gets pushed to a level of either going insane, where you sound like a constant bumbling idiot trying to warn everybody, or you go, this is just the way it is. So if I want to be able to take, this is the sick part. If I want to actually really thrive in this system, I have to do exactly what the most ruthless people on the planet are doing. Get on board and help them to exploit everybody else. And then you get the benefits, you get the knowledge, you get the, you know, live on the house on the hill and everyone else is subservient to you. Sorry, I'm saying this on a health show, but to me it's interconnected.
Oh. Well, I'm sad if that's, I want to say, because I don't think you have to get to that point to be, you know, ruthless and to exploit and be there. I think it can almost,
our modern day society, the more that you get close to that, okay, the more successful you naturally are. Or what a lot of people don't realize is that even if you're working a lower level job right now in society, anything to do with government, even if you're working at McDonald's, you're perpetuating a system. Anything short of living entirely off-grid with organic food, your own, like, solar panels that you manufactured in your own green factory with your own everything, anything short of that, and then, like, becoming completely separate and sovereign, anything short of that, you're actually, every day you put petrol in your car, your petroleum or your gas, anything like that is actually perpetuating the system. So anything short of absolute removal of yourself and your community from the system is perpetuating the system.
That's a deep conversation. You could have hours upon hours of conferences about.
Sure.
I just
sure, but I mean, like, where do we start, man?
What change do you want to be, Andrew? And I think you can be
change. But once again, it's a metaphysical question, because if we live in a world in which there really is a zero-sum game due to human nature, due to the very existence of human beings trying to one-up each other the whole time, then you say, well, you know, the change that you want to be in your own life might be wanting to preserve your own, you know, your own community and your own well-being. And if the best way to do that is covert, then you become pretty ruthless and Machiavellian. But if we live in a world in which the world is progressively, the people are progressively becoming more enlightened, which it doesn't seem to be, but if people are becoming gradually more enlightened and wanting to move towards, you know, some kind of your new technological utopia in which we all optimize how many children we have and there's plenty of resources to go around, you know, well, then a person could try to just constantly dish out information to everybody else to their absolute detriment and never be the courtier, as Machiavelli would say, and you know, give out everything to everyone for free all the time. But from my experience of like over a decade of trying to do that, you just get screwed all the time. You know, and I mean, how do you take that from a health perspective, et cetera, et cetera? You know, you can try to do the best that you can, but ultimately it's like the FDA is against you, the courts are against you. People generally don't want to know. Stop telling me not to, like you said, with the butter and everything. Stop telling me to fatten up. And that's the vast majority of people. It's not the people that are like, you know, I understand the starfish theory, but I mean, you know, sorry, and I sound like a crazy person.
I like the starfish theory. No, you don't. No, and I love it when people can call and share. So, I want to, you know, ask Jimmy, and I like, sometimes I like looking through my Pollyanna eyes sometimes, you know, and feel like we can change the world because I do think we can. And so, Jimmy, I'll ask you, like when you, I mean, you started this back in 2004, and yeah, we see the big conglomerates and all that kind of stuff, but you still were one of two people in the front of the government that wanted to speak up and be, you know, to say what was on your heart and what you're living.
Yeah.
How, what, you know, what would you share with Andrew?
Yeah, wow, what a loaded question, and it's very much philosophical. I mean, I think,
yeah,
you know, we can trace back how silent we were when all of this, like, disastrous, I'm going to take it back to the health part, this disastrous nutritional health policy kind of came into place in the late 70s and early 80s when the food pyramid came around. Nobody really spoke up and said, wait, we have no evidence for this. And he's exactly right. You know, we continually buy into the system every time we shop, pretty much. And so it's one reason I started, you know, growing our own garden and having our own chickens. I think that's where people are moving to. And it's not necessarily completely off the grid, but putting a hurt on these people. I mean, when I stopped drinking 16 cans of Coca-Cola a day, I promise you that hurt Coca-Cola because they used to get a lot of money from me and now they get zero from me. So I think we just all have to do our part, and I think collectively shows like this one, podcasts like mine, are trying to get the information out there so that we can make more intelligent decisions and know what to do going forward, and they are feeling it. I mean, these companies have to have noticed in their bottom line. They may not know why yet, but they've noticed that they're losing market share, and they're literally scrambling, trying to find companies to partner with. General Mills is a prime example. They're well known as the cereal company that's been out there for many years promoting, you know, crappy cereals. Well, they just bought Epic Bar Company. Say again?
Cereal killers.
Yeah, they're definitely
it's
cereal killers.
Cereal
exactly.
That'll kill you, man.
That's exactly right. So they recently bought a company that makes a grass-fed beef bar, the Epic Bar Company. They bought them out, and they said, you know what, we're not going to change your company. We just want to give you more cover for marketing and exposure and distribution. And so those kind of things are already happening where these companies realize we've got to change the way we do business because the consumer has already changed and we've got to catch up.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
You've got Coke, like, what is it? Coke Green now in the U.S.?
Oh, don't even get
Coca-Cola.
Me started. That stuff's nasty. And it's full of sugar still.
It's like, I know what we'll do. We'll put it in a green can, and you know what? It's working. People
there
are buying it because it's in a green can. Green.
It ain't going to be because of me because I am, like, preaching it from the mountaintop. Don't eat that crap.
Oh, sure.
If it's not real food, don't eat it.
Yeah, well, Andrew,
but that's the thing.
I
think
that
the distribution network needs to change, man. That's the last thing that I want to say. The distribution network needs to change. You know, people like or groups like Bulletproof, I'd love to get in touch with and say, look, I've been trying to figure out how to create an alternative distribution network. You know, maybe something using solar trucks, if anybody wants to pioneer that, using alternative delivery systems and also using the buying power of communities. Because when people start like making the correlation and getting used to eating good food, then we've got a solution. But right now it's like the vast majority of people are stuck, man. You know, and then because of our natural inclination to want to eat whatever's giving us that energy, that glucose and so forth, we know we're just going to keep going back to it's like feeding pigs. I'm sorry to say it, but anyway, thanks for the chat, guys.
Thanks for calling, Andrew.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jimmy, I love any question that comes up, and when people, I think you would share that about one of your podcasts too, even eating patterns that, you know, you don't necessarily agree with, stuff like that, because it's good to bring the discussion out there, because I do think we can make a difference. And I see how much you've done just in the years this has been your life. And I thank you for that too. So, hey, you know, you are official part of our tribe, right?
Hey, always. I want to do this again. You guys have great questions. So please, I'd be very honored to come back again anytime.
Thank you, because I was actually going to say, I'm going to put you on the spot here and say, I hope you'll come back. So you just gave me that go ahead.
There you go.
I appreciate
See,
it.
I preemptively knew you were going to ask that. There we go.
See? I'm so glad. Well, Jimmy, again, thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us today. And good luck. You have a podcast later this afternoon, correct?
I do, yeah. Constantly recording,
okay.
But that's okay. I can squeeze in Destination Health anytime.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Okay, Jimmy. Well, until next time, thank you so much. And we
Thanks,
look
Kim.
Forward to talking to you again soon. Bye now.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, you guys, wasn't that absolutely incredible? And Jimmy, so wonderful. So thank you to him. Thank you to all of you that listened today, that called in with your questions. Look forward to Kevin being back next Wednesday. Wish him all luck on his exam this weekend coming up. So again, thank you. I hope you know how much you matter to us. Your health matters to us. Until next week, keep learning, keep connected with like-minded people, share out there, okay? Keep committed to you and be a leader out there on the roads and in your home on this health journey. Okay, be healthy, be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. Until next week, you guys have a great, safe week. Bye now.